Doing. I hope you're having a lovely day. You are listening to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus on the unceded, ancestral, and traditional Musqueam territory in Vancouver. I'm your host, Saira Unju, and we have a show that is a little lighter than usual. So normally we have reviews, interviews, shoutouts. It's usually pretty packed tight. Today's interview, we have two shoutouts and two interviews, so it should be nice and light for all of us. Also, I hope you didn't miss us too much last week. If you did, we're here. And if you do miss us during weeks that we're not here, because it's bi-weekly right now, well, you can always go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or CITR.ca and listen to our previous episodes. There's 5 years worth of episodes archived in there, so you will not run out of episodes to listen anytime soon, I promise you. So, what shall we do right now? Well, I say let's start with an interview that I had with Sandra Laurent, who is the artistic and executive director of Red Sky Performance. And Red Sky Performance is performance will be presented with Indigidance starting today. So get your tickets, lads. Also, we had a giveaway on our social media, meaning Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So you could have won tickets. So make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook so that you don't miss another giveaway. After my interview with Sandra Laurent, we shall be back. I will let Dion take the microphone for two shoutouts, and after those two shoutouts, we will be back with another interview. Until then, enjoy. Hello everyone, today I'm joined with Sandra Laurent, who is the executive and artistic director of Red Sky Performance, and we will be talking about the third presentation within Digidance called More Than Dance, We Are a Movement, in celebration of the 20th anniversary of Contemporary Indigenous Innovators, Red Sky Performance. And it'll be streaming online from April 14th until the 20th. Hello, Sandra. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So can you talk a little about what More Than Dance, We Are a Movement is about, what it is generally?
Yes, it's a dance, I should say it's a digital film. It's a film, and it's celebrating the 20th anniversary of Red Sky. And in this film, we will have two extended excerpts of Red Sky's latest shows. Plus, there will be an interview, interviews with myself and some of the collaborators that will speak to creative process and the shows and, you know, Red Sky and what inspired Red Sky and all of that. So there's three sections. Mm-hmm. And so More Than Dance, We Are a Movement is really to remind everyone of the sort of the scope of the work that we do, mm-hmm. which is not just a dance troupe or a dance group or anything like that. It's partly what we do, but we do so much more than that. And that's what the piece is. Hopefully we'll convey that message very clearly right across Canada.
Yeah, hopefully. That sounds great. And as you mentioned, it's a feature-length film featuring interviews and excerpts from Trace and Migas. And so how did the idea of making the performance a feature-length film come about?
Well, this is for DigiDance. Basically, I was approached by five different presenters from across Canada, and they had approached me to see if Red Sky could do a film that would celebrate our 20th anniversary. And so we were able to do that. But basically, it was DigiDance approaching us to consider this. And then I came up with the title because I wanted it to be, even though, a lot of the audiences are dance enthusiasts, I also am really interested in sort of, looking at the other forms, art forms that we do and how they intersect with one another so that people can also think about dance in different ways. And clearly, we're a contemporary Indigenous dance company, so we, performance company, I should say. So, there's a lot of another layer within all that we do is culture, is imbued with Indigenous culture, Anishinaabe culture, and more specifically.
And so this is filmed for the DigiDance presentation, or are you taking recordings from a previous performance?
The interview is done for DigiDance specifically. And then the other two excerpts are excerpts that we had footage of already, Migas and Trace. And then we just edit it and made it look as beautiful as possible for the film, for the webcast, yes.
Yeah, wonderful. And is this the first online presentation that Red Sky Performance is doing, or have you had previously during COVID?
We're basically developing very energetic digital content, and this performance is one of them with DigiDance. And then we're creating another piece called Mistatim, which is sort of a reimagining of a live theater show in a digital context with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and Crow's Theatre. And then we're also building our own digital platform to roll out a very all-encompassing idea that we would like to make happen. But we're also creating our own platform, which, as you know, like structurally, like it's a whole architectural piece in and of itself. So we're doing a lot of stuff digitally. And then we have Red Talks that we did, speaking with Indigenous leaders, artists, and change makers. And we did a series called Wisdom Keepers because I was really interested in, I could hear people wanting to hear more about, the meaning of what's going on and the wisdom and being hungry for wisdom and wise words and wise people during a time like the pandemic. So we generated that digital content as well. So we were already moving towards the world of digital before the pandemic hit. But now that the pandemic's here, it just sort of accelerated everything fast forward into the digital sphere. And but we were already sort of gearing up and starting to create projects that were in that space.
Did the Red Talks exist before the
Yeah,
pandemic?
it's 2011, but
Oh,
it only
wow.
started going d digital, I guess during the pandemic, I guess.
Do you think you will continue having the Red Talks both
Definitely.
digitally and personally, or do you think you will just go back to having them in person?
I would think a combination, because now with the whole pandemic, there's so many people I would love to bring into our space that are not close to Canada. They don't reside near Canada or even North America. So now we can sort of look at other people that we would bring into this through Zoom or some other digital or through our digital platform. And then at the same time, do still have live digital Red Talks as well.
That would be
Or
amazing.
hybrid.
Sounds great. And so you're planning on touring Canada in the fall of 2021 and spring of
Yes,
2022.
fingers crossed.
Yes, it's so exciting. And especially for me or other Vancouverites, because you haven't toured in Vancouver since 2010. So hopefully you'll be able to come. When did you guys decide you would have this tour? Has it been in the works for a while?
We're going to be in BC. We were in BC in 2019, but we weren't in Vancouver. We were in other areas like sort of around Kelowna and Soyuz, all that area. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. You
It
see, it's so beautiful. And then we have two tours happening in the fall of 2021 and the spring of 2022. We will be out in BC twice. And the second time that we're out in the spring of 2022, we'll be in several communities along the coast of BC. And then we'll also be at the dance house in Vancouver. I think it's in the fall or it's the spring as well. I can't remember which, but we'll be there in Vancouver. We love coming to Vancouver very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And BC. BC is one of our biggest markets.
Oh, really?
Canada. Yeah.
Wow. Good to
Yeah.
know. And so, what's the plan for the tour? Because you're an interdisciplinary arts company, so do you think you'll be sticking to dance or kind of doing a mix of different art forms?
Well, all of our forms are a mix, all of them. So even Trace and Migos sort of embrace dance, live music, theatricality, multimedia, story, culture. So it's already, all those threads are in everything that we do. So it's less siloed. It's less siloed. And that's very, very much in keeping in terms of the design, the intent and the design. And so the build also will have that interdisciplinary scope to it. And we also create shows for children too. And so sometimes it's intergenerational. And we've been out west a lot with our last children's show called Mistatim. And we've toured, I don't know how many communities we see. I mean, in Haida Gwaii and places like that too, like really, oh, that's where I would love to go to Haida Gwaii. I hope we can get out that way again at some point.
Yeah, I feel
Yeah.
like I can tell you miss touring. So hopefully you'll be able to do it this fall and this upcoming spring.
Well, to tell you the truth, it was really nice to take a little break from touring.
Yeah, it must be tiring. You're right, yeah.
Were just geared up to go on this big tour, and they said, oh, I would have liked to have done part of it though. And then there's another part of me that went, oh, God, we can get off that hamster wheel for a little while, But then other hamster wheels come, and now it's called a digital one. So we go.
Yeah, it never ends.
I know.
Yeah. And so also, how can people get information about the upcoming tour? Is it on your website?
We don't have it listed like fully right now, but we will be posting. It will be up on the website in terms of everywhere we will be going and when and times and everything like that, and where they can get tickets. That will probably be. We just have to make sure it's a go, first of all, because we are in the midst of the pandemic and we are talking fall 2021.
That's true.
So I think spring 2022 is going to be okay, but fall, we just have to wait for the green light before we start putting everything up on the website and making sure it's happening. So it's a strange time, but I really hope that we're able to do it. We may be able to do the Canadian part of it, but maybe not the US, but I hope we're able to do it all. I really,
Yes,
yeah.
hopefully. And moving away from the tour and this performance, I kind of have a question about Red Sky Performance in general. So you founded Red Sky Performance in 2010, and as you said, you've been touring a lot, you've been performing all over Canada. And how, in your opinion, do you think Red Sky Performance has impacted Indigenous arts?
I don't think we've just impacted Indigenous arts. I think we've impacted Canadian arts, first of all. And I think we've also impacted Indigenous arts too. And the company was founded 20 years ago, not 2010, but 20 years ago. And how have we, well, we, in a lot of ways, we have started to contribute to the Indigenous canon of repertoire and new works, new original works. And we have really put Indigenous arts on the Canadian map and on the world map. Because when I started Red Sky 20 years ago, I didn't see, I can count on one hand how many times I've seen anything Indigenous on a main stage.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, in one hand, I can count how many times I've seen that in my lifetime. And now it's a different time 20 years later,
yeah.
which is very, very exciting. And I think, so we've contributed new work. We started building an associate artist program, which helps to build and mentor next generation artists, Indigenous artists. We have toured extensively,
mm-hmm.
and so a lot of people being exposed to Indigenous arts and culture at the same time and realizing how good it is,
yeah.
you know, because unfortunately, I think there's still a lot of, there's still a sense that the work is going to be, oh, it's going to be a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be mediocre is what you still sometimes audiences think about Indigenous work. But then they come to see the work and they're like blown away and they've never seen something like that. And they're excited. And that's really, really great. And so in many ways, we have contributed to the cultural breadth of Canada,
mm-hmm.
And really help people think about things differently through our work, whether it was about looking at land through a very different lens.
Yeah.
People are very excited about that. They're very excited to find new ways of seeing things because I think, you know, there's a realization that there's many ways to see things and the Indigenous perception is, you know, pretty, pretty interesting. And I'll just give you a quick anecdote is with Trace, for example, you know, you see, you know, the night sky has been, for all our lives, we've been told Greek and Roman stories of
mm-hmm.
the constellations of the sky stories. We're learning their stories.
Yeah.
And we're Canadians learning Greek and Roman star and sky stories. Why? Why are we learning only Western world stories that aren't even from this continent?
Yeah.
We should be looking at the sky from our own POV and to talk about stories that are inherent in the patterns that we see as a people, and I mean as Canadians here as well,
mm-hmm.
where are those stories? Because basically the night sky is a reflection of the cultural psyche of a people. So if we're looking up to this mirror of ourselves and we're hearing Greek and Roman stories, Canadians won't know who they are.
Yeah.
If we look, and we're always, in Canada, there's a lot of transplanted stories from elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
from Europe mostly. And we're very Euro-facing in how we even create art, you know, and so, you know, we're on the road to find something really from this place, from this land, from this inspired from here, from the land, from the sky, but inspired from here.
Mm-hmm.
Really, truly bring out the Indigenous culture from here, but also Canadian and Canadian identity, which I believe is somehow, which is linked to who Indigenous people are, because it's what is so distinct in Canada. So, and that's another way we contribute to changing. We're basically going around and trying to change all the minds that we can and help people to see things in a different way that they get excited and energized by, and we want them to feel larger and more excited and more connected than when they first walk through our doors, whether that be physical doors or virtual doors.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And such a great note to, unfortunately, end this interview on, because we don't have much more time. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for talking about Red Sky Performance's upcoming performance. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for your interest in what we do.
Of course.
Magwitch.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Welcome back. Hello. I hope you enjoyed that interview. And now let's hear it from Dion, our shout outs. By the way, Dion is our new correspondent. We have a new member. It's always so exciting. Okay. I'll pass it on to Dion now.
I'm sure by now we're all very familiar with the word essential. And here at the Arts Report, we would just like to give a shout out to a production by The Coach and Soft Cedar titled The Essentials. The Essentials will be, well, essentially, a multidisciplinary performance spanning from April 16th to 18th, featuring the artist, poet, musician, Kari Wendell McClelland. Kari will be joined by different scholars, poets, musicians each night to explore the idea of what is essential and needed during these times and what the role of art is during periods of struggle, such as right now. And you can find tickets online at theculch.com, that is theculch.com. Again, the performance will be running from April 16th to 18th. Be sure to check it out. Also, if you haven't noticed already, it's that time of year again for the Capture Photography Festival. Shout out to the Capture Photography Festival, which is a pretty long-standing tradition for different photographers and their photographs in public spaces and in galleries all around Metro Vancouver. You can find a lot of the photographs actually in TransLink SkyTrain stations right now, you know, waterfront stations, Stadium Chinatown, all that jazz. Most of the public and gallery exhibitions run through April and maybe even into May for some of them, but the schedule for each exhibition is slightly different. So for a full itinerary of where and when you can catch these photographs, be sure to check out the Capture Photography Festival's website, capturephotofest.com, to make sure you don't miss anything, because if you like beautiful things, you should definitely check this out.
Well, thank you, Leon, for the... Leon! Who's Leon? Thank you, Dion, for those shout-outs. Let's now get into my interview with Nancy Lee and Kieran Bumber, who are the creators of a new exhibition called Union, coming up at the Richmond Art Gallery. So, enjoy! Hello, everyone. Today, I'm with Nancy Lee and Kieran Bumber, who are the creators of Union, a sci-fi exhibition created to challenge the expectations born from cultural norms. It will be presented within Digital Carnival Z at the Richmond Art Gallery and will be launched on April 25th to 24th. I'm sorry, available until June 5th. Yes. Hi, Nancy, Kieran. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. At the gallery space right now, and installing the exhibition.
Yeah,
and it's a sunny day.
Nice.
Getting some sun outside in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's wonderful how Vancouver's been getting sunny lately. That's a mood booster. So to begin, do you mind telling us what Union is all about and what people can expect from it?
Sure.
Yeah, so Union is like a dystopian science fiction, like speculative science fiction story that's set in year 3000 after like a air apocalypse has happened and like the nation state has collapsed. So it's pretty much like a entire like we're starting from like ground zero again, and we're kind of like in this like new world in like year 3000 where like the air is so polluted that people have to stay indoors, and like you know, people are instructed to not come in physical contact with each other anymore because of the viral air pollution that's out there. So everyone resides in this cyber world called Gaia. Mm-hmm. And it's this like a neural cyber implant that is like implanted into your spine, and you kind of like access it through your mind. And that's kind of like, it's like the cyber world. It's like the internet. For like year 3000. And that's where everyone interacts and like gets their pleasure. And, you know, it's kind of like this hedonistic world where like people go and like receive like pleasure in this like universe. Like touch is forbidden in the real world, but the only, so people don't remember who they are anymore, because all of our archival data and archival information has been like erased, because like the apocalypse and all the cyber warfare that has like deleted all digital data, you know, which is really possible that could happen, you know, just need like a blackout really. And then like all print material had been like burnt, used for like fuel in like industrial times. Like in this world, it's like humans, we don't remember who we are anymore. But the only way for us to remember ourselves is through the performance of rituals and through touch, through activating the cultural memories that are stored in our body and in our genes.
Okay, wow, that sounds amazing. And why did you guys decide to create Union?
Why did we decide? Address?
Yeah. Duh. Oh my god, right. Like, there's so many reasons, but yes. So actually the main impetus to starting this exhibition was we were just having a casual conversation about weddings and what it would be like for us to have a traditional wedding coming from each of our cultures. And understanding that based on our familial circumstances, we just wouldn't have the means to have that type of traditional, like, grand wedding. But we started fascinating about, like, what our dress would look like. And then we got into this obsession of, like, we just want ball and dresses. Like, that, it was, like, our desire to fit into the cultural norm through the wedding dress and the wedding gown. And so we were like, hey, let's write a story where we get married.
Yeah.
And let's pitch it to a bunch of places and see if it would work. And also too, I mean, in our research, we haven't found any intercultural queer wedding or any reference to that as well. Yeah. So that also was like another thing that we wanted to challenge.
Yeah, we wanted to create a space where people can imagine themselves as that, because, like, you know, like Kieran is Punjabi, I'm Han, Chinese and Taiwanese. It's like within our cultures, like patriarchy kind of works in like a different way too, right? So it's like, how do we imagine ourselves you know, getting married outside of like the patriarchal structures, because, like, you know, being femmes or being women in our culture has like another added layer, and then being queer also has like another added layer to that. You know, there had been way more examples of men like doing traditional weddings that are queer than women or femmes. So so we also wanted to explore that as well too, throughout this project, to like create a possibility where that could be like imagined in a future.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. It's getting more common to see, I guess, intercultural weddings, but intercultural and queer is just not represented. So it's great that we're getting some representation. So I read that there are multiple elements within Union, like 3D printed sculptures, wedding dresses, or 16-channel interactive sound and visual projection maps. How did you guys come up with all of these elements? How was the kind of the creation process for this?
I guess, yeah, we had a lot of work that Nancy and I do is based on building immersive spaces and environments and inviting individuals to come in and using their interactions within space to drive artwork. So that was definitely one of the elements of, you know, having an immersive sound installation where sound is all around you and a floor projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to focus on the process too, because mm-hmm. like a big part of our practice is like exploring technologies that we want to explore, and it's kind of, you know, rather than imagining something with like an end product or mm-hmm. end result, kind of using the process to drive where we end up. So it's more of like an organic process, and a big part of our research is also centering the body. So like thinking, so everything is in relation, is thought through a choreographic lens. So it's thought through in relation to our bodies and the bodies of like the audience members that are in the space. Like with the 3D printed sculpture, it's a sculpture of Kieran and I embracing, and it's life size, it's like half our bodies. Oh, wow. So, you know, also, you know, based on what has been happening with the pandemic and stuff like that, like presence is so lacking, mm-hmm. you know, physical presence is so lacking. So also like thinking about like how do we convey touch and intimacy and presence within our work, mm-hmm. Like through the different mediums that we play with.
Yeah. And how did the collaboration work for you guys? Did you kind of do everything together throughout, or divide it up depending on your own skill set? How was that?
Yeah, I would say it's been back and forth with all of the components. Like both of us are very much involved in mm-hmm. each of the components. I do come from more of a sound background, and Nancy's more visual. Mm-hmm. So obviously for, you know, the film, Nancy's a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Nancy directed the film. And in terms of the sound installation, that was more, I took more of a lead on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're both part of the works too,
yeah.
right? Because it's like Kieran's also in the film, and, you know, and
yeah.
I'm also in the music as well. So it's like, it's kind of like a, yeah, we just play to our strength, but like the whole process is like an equal collaborator kind of process.
Okay, sounds great. Have you guys worked before together, or is this your first time? Yeah,
we've done lots of work together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like, I mean, this working process has been kind of going on, like, you know, and it's been really helpful that like we have very different skill sets. Mm-hmm. Like you working in sound, me working in visuals, but at the same time we're both very keen on learning new technologies. So that's kind of our thing, is like we're really interested in learning new softwares and building new like pipelines for like technology, and kind of exploring like how we can utilize, you know, like softwares, technology, and like sensors and interactions in like different ways.
Interesting. And is union kind of similar to what you've done together before, or is it different? How does it compare to your past experience together?
Yeah, so when you think about presence in a space or having awareness of the technology and the interaction in the space, and also the individuals and their presence in relation to each other, has definitely been central to our past work.
Mm-hmm.
We did a project called Telepresence,
mm-hmm.
Which presence is in its name. And it was the 8 channels. We had 8 speakers, surround sound. It was a VR installation performance environment where we kind of had more of a group setting space where people can view VR together.
Mm-hmm.
So we had built a networked app so that people can start playing the same experience at the same time. Because normally in VR experiences, you think it's very individualistic. You're in your own space, in your own world,
yeah,
doing your thing. And we had, while people were sitting in the immersive VR world, there was a live performer who was also performing around them, so a trumpet
okay.
player. So the idea behind telepresence was researching how VR can enhance a musical performance.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Sounds amazing. And so, as I mentioned in the introduction, Union is part of Digital Carnival Z. Have you guys been part of Digital Carnival Z before?
Haven't. This is our first time, and yeah, we feel really fortunate to be a featured artist this year. And it's been so wonderful to work with Cinevolution and see the work that they put on. And yeah, we're really excited to see all the other artists that are involved.
Yeah, and kind of, okay, I don't really know how to word this. So being part of Digital Carnival Z, what does it mean to you as an artist?
Honestly, like for us, like it's been like I think it's more than just being part of Digital Carnival Z. It's being the featured artist. It's being featured by Cinevolution, the organization, because Digital Carnival Z is happening like starting next Wednesday, right? But it's like for us, like as artists that have been working on this project for the last couple of years, it's really been like amazing to see the kind of care and leadership held by like Cinevolution, and also because we're also curators and cultural producers ourselves. That you know, Kieran runs Intermediate Media Art Educational Festival. I have current Feminist Electronic Arts Symposium Festival. So it's like also like coming from a curatorial background, seeing and witnessing how Cine and Evolution have been holding space for us and have been like you know supporting us throughout this like artistic journey and developing our story and then the installation. I think like honestly like that was like that is like one of the most like valuable experiences and like most amazing kind of experiences to have like witnessed and been a part of is just like being part of like just being part of like that entire like curatorial care like and like you know and them all being like you know women of color like supporting us and just like having that leadership is like just like priceless.
Yeah, so definitely building that relationship has been super fruitful. And they were, we couldn't have asked for better producers. Yeah.
And now that the launch is closer, how does it feel for you guys, for people to be able to see your work finally? Are you happy with your creation?
Yeah. Honestly, we just feel so fortunate that we were able to make art during COVID. Who gets to say that, right? And you know, looking forward to having meetings you know, together and with our collaborators, with all our protocols, obviously, has been a blessing throughout this time. Yeah. Because there's so many artists that are struggling right now and have had shows canceled or postponed, and we feel so lucky to be able to have this opportunity.
Yeah, this has been like an escape for a lot of like our collaborators too. It's like this like other project that they it's like a really grounding for us and for our collaborators to have some kind of stability. And you know some kind of like thing that we have to commit to and get together every week to do something. And it's also been an opportunity for us to really, I think for a lot of people during COVID pandemic, is to like really focus on deepening those certain relationships that you want to deepen. So we feel like extremely grateful and fortunate to be able to work with collaborators that we've always wanted to work with, you know, and to develop our artistic practice like with them in such a supportive way, you know.
Oh
Like
my gosh,
I think
yeah.
the process, like it's not even about the exhibition, it's about the process, you know, like it's like about going through this process with all of our collaborators during such trying times.
And supporting each other.
Yeah. And so, where can people find Union?
You can go to our website, union.land. There's some information, and we will be launching the registration for the for April 24th soon, in the coming week. So if anyone is interested, so we will be present on April 24th, and that's the first day of the exhibition. So yeah, just I would just bookmark union.land. Or you can all check out Cinevolution's Digital Carnival Z website.
Sounds great. And is there anything you guys would like to add or mention before we go?
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and telling me about Union. I appreciate that you took the time out of your day to talk to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Thank
thank
you
you so
so
much.
much.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
To prevent the spread of coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19, social distancing and self-isolation measures have been recommended. Here are some tips for managing your mental health while working from home, in self-isolation, quarantined, having to be home due to loss of employment, or just having to be home more than usual, according to @counselingforallseasons on Instagram. Try to create a structure or routine for your day. Structure helps us feel a sense of normalcy and control, and this is especially important during a time with a lot of unknowns. Routines do not have to be about productivity. Take a nap, go for a walk, or read a book. Remember to have regular meals and hydrate. This can add to a regular routine, and both of these can contribute to mood changes. If it's possible, get outside. If it's possible, get outside or open your windows. Fresh air and natural light can be beneficial to mental health. Don't be afraid to go outside. Just make sure you're observing basic social distancing. Stick to a sleep routine. Both lack of sleep and excess sleep can increase anxiety and depression. Keep up with personal hygiene and chores. Skipping personal hygiene routines can affect our moods, so try to shower, etc., even though you're not going out. Keeping your space tidy and clean can help with mental health, but it'll also contribute to preventing the spread of COVID-19. It's two birds, one stone. Remember to connect with loved ones. We might not be able to see people face to face, but that doesn't mean that those relationships are any less meaningful or important. Connection is vital to our mental health, especially in times that can feel full of despair.
Hello, welcome back. Hello. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Nancy Lee and Kieran Bumper. Also, I just now realized, why was my hello so aggressive? I apologize. I'm just trying to be friendly and welcoming. Anyways, also, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Sandra Laurent too. Make sure you check out Red Sky Performances More Than Dance. We are a movement, which is starting today. And as a reminder, Nancy Lee and Kieran Bumber's union is launching April 24th until June 5th. So you have a lot of time to see it at the Richmond Art Gallery, but I believe you can also get more information about it online, whether or not you can see it online too. So keep that in mind. Okay, before we go, I wanna mention again, just like I did in the beginning, that we had a giveaway for Red Sky Performances More Than Dance, We Are a Movement on our social media. That includes our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook accounts. And as you know, we didn't announce it on our show live. So if you want to have the chance to win tickets for a show, you know, we're having giveaways. We had a giveaway for Joe. We had a giveaway for More Than Dance. We Are a Movement. So if you want to keep updated and possibly win free tickets for a show, make sure you are following us on our social media. Our Twitter is CITR_artsreport. What would you find if you follow our Twitter? Sometimes my stream of consciousness, sometimes I make jokes, and sometimes we post, by we, I mean I do, I post all stuff related to our show, such as the ticket giveaway or the interviews we had. So, you know, everything. Our Instagram is artsreportcitr. If you want to, again, keep updated about possible giveaways that are going to happen in the future, if you want to see behind the scenes of me recording and editing the show during COVID times. And when the station is finally open, if you want to see behind the scenes of us doing the live show in the station and inside the studio, if you want to be reminded of what we have had in the past on our episodes and what we have upcoming in our upcoming episodes, make sure you follow our Instagram. And finally, our Facebook is Art Support on CITR 101.9 FM. It is a lovely Facebook page. And oh my god, that is my alarm. It is 10:30 p.m. here. I was not expecting that alarm. It is reminding me to drink some tea because I have been drinking a lot of coffee lately. And even though coffee doesn't really, you know, keep me awake, I can just chug a whole cup of coffee and go to sleep. It's been making me, how do I say this? Like, my hands are shaking. my hands are really shaky because of the amount of coffee I've been consuming. So it's reminding me to drink some chamomile tea to relax, to, you know, wind down a little. So if you're at home right now and you're needing some winding down, I highly recommend chamomile tea. Anyways, that took a whole detour. Okay. Our Facebook page is, I'm not gonna lie, it's quite the copy paste of our Instagram page, but I do post some other stuff, such as things that are happening outside of Vancouver. So, like, presentations you can find online, such as presentations from National Ballet of Canada, which is located in Toronto, or presentations from across the Atlantic. You know, just make sure you follow us to get some more updates. Oh, also important to mention, on our Instagram, all the time, constantly, consistently, we post things that we don't mention on our show either. So if you want to keep further posted about what's happening in Vancouver, make sure you follow us, because we do post things on there that we might not mention on the show. Yeah, so just as a reminder, our Twitter is CITR_ArtSupport. Our Instagram is ArtSupportCITR. And our Facebook is ArtSupport on CITR 101.9 FM. Wow, I said ArtSupport way too many times there. Take a shot every time I say ArtSupport. Hey, drinky game. Anyways, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. It's been fun making it for you. Important to mention that we're not having a show next week. We are, during April, currently doing it bi-weekly because of finals. So our upcoming show is April 28th. And after that, are we having shows? That's a wonderful question to which I do not have the answer right now. And if we do have shows during summer, they will be bi-weekly because, well, summer is not really the hot season for arts and culture. Winter, fall and winter are more, you know, there's a lot more going on. So we're able to have the show weekly and we're able to have enough content for weekly shows. So if we do end up having the show during summer, it will be bi-weekly, and our first summer show will be the week after April 28th. So like April 28th, skip 1 week, after, like the week after. Yes. But until then, I will see you on April 28th. If you want to listen to us in the meantime, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and CITR.ca. Wonderful. Also, I just want to mention, if you are a company that want to have an interview with us or would like us to review something, you can reach out to us at arts@citr.ca. That is our email address. Okay, that was all. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Again, I will see you on April 28th. And until then, stay safe, stay safe, everyone. Okay, drink your chamomile tea. Bye.